I'm Carol Hills, and this is The World. We're a co-production of the BBC World Service, PRI, and WGBH in Boston. For more than 24 hours, people from across the globe watched her ordeal play out on social media. I'm talking about Rahaf Mohammed Al-Kunun. She's the 18-year-old woman from Saudi Arabia who started tweeting from the Bangkok airport on Saturday. She'd been on vacation with her family in Kuwait. She said she slipped away from them and caught a flight to Thailand. "I'm in real danger because the Saudi embassy is trying to force me to go back to Saudi Arabia," she wrote on Twitter. On Sunday, my BBC colleague James Kumarasamy spoke to Rahaf Mohammed Al-Kunun in Bangkok, and he asked her why she wanted to flee Saudi Arabia.
"I don't have rights in Saudi Arabia, and my family treat me so bad. They will kill me."
"Why do you think that?"
"Because I shared my story and my pictures in social media, and my father is so angry because I did this."
"What exactly did you share? What is your story?"
"My story that I ran away and my country took my passport."
"And why did you decide to renounce Islam?"
"Because women don't have rights in Islam."
"Because women don't have rights in Islam," she says. We'll talk more about that in a few minutes. But first, we go to the world's Patrick Nguyen in Bangkok, who's been following the story.
It's been this blow-by-blow drama on Twitter, which has ended with her being in the hands of UN refugee agency officials. So that is actually an outcome that bodes well for her, at least in the short term. It doesn't look like she's going to be sent back to Saudi Arabia in the near term.
So does that mean she's no longer barricaded in the hotel room?
Right, exactly. So most of this drama has played out from her hotel room. We've been seeing inside her hotel room via her smartphone for hours and hours and hours, and it's been very dramatic. You know, you see her barricading the door. She posts these videos of officials knocking on the door and trying to call, and her, you know, in a very frustrated way answering back, "I only will speak to the UN." So that drama has ended, and I think that now I suspect the advice she'll get from UN officials is stop tweeting. However, the tweeting, you can make a case that it saved her life. I mean, if we take her at face value and we assume that if she goes back to Saudi Arabia, she could be killed, and apostates are killed in Saudi Arabia, then the tweeting she did, turning her private struggle into this huge media sensation, that may have really saved her life.
Let's go back to how this all started. Rahaf Mohammed Al-Kunun flew to Thailand from Kuwait, where she'd been on holiday with her family. She was then reportedly en route to Australia, but she was intercepted in Thailand. What happened then?
Well, it appears that maybe she didn't have a plane ticket to go to Australia. At least that's what the Thai immigration officials are saying, if we take them at their word. They saw her, and then the Saudi government intervened, figured out where she was, and this started this whole family drama. Now, on the Thai official side, they've been saying different things. I mean, at one point they were saying, an official was saying, well, she's not a refugee, she's a child, and we have to turn her back over to her family. The immigration chief said, well, she came without a guardian, and if we allow her to enter, she'll be unsafe. You know, she's an 18-year-old woman. 18-year-old women come to Thailand for holiday all the time, and no one gives them any grief. So that tone has changed now, and now the immigration chief is saying, we're not going to send her back if she'll be killed. We just wouldn't do that.
And that was a Thai official who said that she's not accompanied by a man, which is, of course, echoing a Saudi policy of kind of male guardianship.
Well, yes, and I can explain what's going on here. Thailand doesn't like to rock the boat. Thai officials don't like to jump out and, you know, make a big crusade for human rights if it's going to affect relations with another country. However, if there's a massive media frenzy, and this young woman has done a great job of creating one, then they have to reconsider, you know, what's worse, diplomatic fallout or, you know, public scorn.
It's interesting because this case is very reminiscent of the recent case involving the Bahraini refugee soccer player, Hakim Al-Araibi, who was detained in Bangkok recently.
Yeah, and he's still detained. His fate is unclear. Thailand isn't the type of place, again, that's going to wave the flag for your dissident rights.
Now, she's been given a temporary permit by Thai authorities. What are her options at the moment?
That temporary permit, we don't know exactly what that means. Her options are to apply for asylum in a third country, and the UN Refugee Agency, the UNHCR, has said that they will help facilitate that request. They have also said they feel pretty safe that the Thais are not going to send her back to Saudi Arabia, that they feel comfortable with those assurances.
The World's Patrick Nguyen in Bangkok. Thanks, Patrick.
Thank you, Carol.